The sounds of conflict are what many Americans hear every day from news coverage of the ongoing revolution in Egypt. But there is another sound that fills the air for Muslims during the holy period of Ramadan, which began Monday. It is the reciting of the Quran. With more than 1.5 billion Muslims worldwide, a number that includes millions of Americans, there is always a need for reciters. Being a good Muslim means learning and practicing the Quran, but learning to recite the Quran has become a tradition even for those Muslims who do not speak Arabic, and their education begins very early in life. In his documentary, Quran by Heart, filmmaker Greg Barker chronicles the story of several youngsters who, as young as age 7, have learned to memorize the holy document. Last year, 110 teen and preteen Muslim boys and girls went to Cairo to compete in the annual International Holy Quran Competition, an intense 2-week ritual during which they recite by memory and without error pre-selected passages. They are judged on their accuracy and the quality of their chant and intonation. It is a major event televised live on Egyptian TV, with the country's president conferring honors on the proud winners. We'd like to hear from our Muslim listeners in the audience. Do you learn to recite the Quran? When did you, and how did you, and where did you? Tell us your story. Our phone number is 800-989-8255. The email address is talk@npr.org. Or to join the conversation, go to our website, npr.org, and click on Talk of the Nation. Filmmaker Greg Barker joins us now from NPR West in Culver City, California. Greg, welcome.
Thank you, Tony. Good to be here.
Let's begin with this, because this competition will be unfamiliar to most Americans, but it's a very big deal for many Muslims, these children coming from all over the globe to participate.
Yeah, it is. It's a very big deal. I think the closest analogy is a spelling bee competition. But think of it almost like as an Olympics of spelling bee. So there are 70 countries represented, 100 kids from across the Islamic world who gather together in Cairo last year during Ramadan. And they really represent the best and brightest of their generation of Muslims from across the Islamic world. These are very, very bright kids, many of whom excel in every other subject that they study as well. And their parents have chosen to emphasize a religious the religious aspect of their education as well. So these kids, some of whom are as young as 7, the ones we profile in the film are 3 amazing 10-year-old kids who have memorized the Quran and recite it beautifully.
You know, it was a very well-done documentary, beautifully shot, and the kids were very compelling, and there were some emotional moments in it for those who did well and for those who did not. Give us an idea of the difficulty of memorizing a document like the Quran. And they weren't tested on their knowledge of the entire Quran, just passages from it. But in order to know the passage and what was to go in it, you had to know the entire Quran, correct?
Yeah, they're basically spot checked. So a passage is chosen at random. They're given the first line of a passage and the end line, and they have to fill in the middle, and that can be up to 3 or 4, in some cases even 6 minutes long, and they have to do it exactly right from memory. And they also have to get the timing and the pronunciation exactly right. But then what's amazing is the what we think of as a melody, non-Muslims would call them the melody, or the intonation is completely up to the individual reciter. So you have these 10-year-old kids who are, you know, almost like jazz musicians, kind of riffing and sort of very much going into the moment and sort of reciting the Quran in an incredibly moving spiritual way. So it's an amazing act of memory and also of artistry.
Our guest is Greg Barker, director of the new HBO documentary Quran by Heart. The film is running this month on HBO and HBO 2. By the way, Greg is a former war correspondent, and he directed the documentary Ghosts of Rwanda and other documentaries for Frontline and HBO. He is joining us from NPR West in Culver City. One of the things, Greg, that caught my attention and the attention of the producer who worked with me on this, it was amazing to realize that many of these these young people, these 10-year-olds that you highlighted in the film, they don't actually speak Arabic, even though they can recite the entire Quran. Explain how that can be.
Well, for Muslims, the Quran is always recited in Arabic, whether the reciter is a native Arabic speaker or not. So it's just these are very, very bright young kids who have just committed the sounds of the Quran to memory. Even though they don't speak the language, really know what they're saying or can't read it. And I think the open question is what's going to happen to these kids. And really what I wanted to do with the film is use this competition and these amazing, engaging, charming young children as a window into the next generation of Muslims. As we find out in the film, some of the children learn nothing but the Quran, so the rest of their education is really compromised. And one boy, we find out, really, really can barely read and write in his own language, and yet he knows the Quran wonderfully.
And he was one of the winners. He was one of the winners.
He's one of the top winners. He's one of the stars of the competition. This extraordinary boy from Tajikistan, who has an incredible voice, and I mean, really brought me and my whole crew to tears the first time we heard him, and many of the judges as well. But it turns out it's part of the backstory. We find out that the rest of his education has been really lacking, and in fact, the government of Tajikistan is trying to crack down on those types of schools that only teach the Quran and nothing else.
Yeah.
And I think that's really the big question, is what's going to happen to these kids and what will they turn out to be as adults?
Well, you mentioned in the documentary that particular school that youngster went to was shut down. At some point, though, do the youngsters learn the meaning of the Quran? Because from what you're telling us, it sounds as if, and we're going to go to a caller in just a second, that what you're telling us is that they are mimicking the sound that is associated with the Arabic in the Quran without having a connection to its meaning.
Well, they generally learn the meaning in more detail when they're older. I mean, the kids we've profiled are 10. So, and the Quran is a very rich and complex religious text. So, you know, as they get older, a reciter 17, 18, 19 would then study the meaning as well.
All right, let's take a phone call. This is from Abbas in Columbus, Ohio. Welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Hello, how are you doing today?
We are fine. How are you?
Good.
Thank you for taking my call. You guys are talking a good topic, and I hope everybody will learn about who we are. Muslim is not a violence. A lot of people will think a Muslim a violence society. We are not. It's just like any other religion. Just like last week, one guy killed 76 people in the name of whatever religion. I know all the religions are extremists. They are extremists.
Let me interrupt you,
Abbas,
let me interrupt you to ask you this question. We want to stay focused as much as we can about the Quran.
Let me stay with that. Where did
you learn it?
I used to memorize the Quran when I was as young as 10, and I have one of my brother right now who really memorized. I don't know whether he can memorize everything, but when he reads, tear will come in your eyes. I take some time, different mosque. People won't give him opportunity, but sometimes they say, okay, come and do the Adam. The way he Adam is amazing. And the way I came from Somali, the way we memorize is we have something called Duksi.
Duksi? What is
Arabic.
That? What is that, Duksi? What is that?
I don't speak Arabic, but still I know the Quran. Duksi is like a school, home school.
Okay.
You have a home school where you have a teacher and one teacher and a few assistants.
All right.
And then you will group with the children and sit. There's something called surah. The children have to memorize. Like I read the one chapter, then the other guys also read the other chapter. The other guy will read another chapter. We might do maybe from like 8 o'clock to 10 or 12 o'clock every night.
All right. Abbas, thank you very much for the phone call. That sounds a little different than what the situation was with the reciters that are in your documentary, Greg, doesn't it?
Sure. But, you know, in the course of making this film, I talked to a lot of Muslim Americans who, you know, professionals who study the Quran on the way to work. And, you know, maybe they take a break at work and they have a Quran reciting program on their computer. It's just a part of their daily life. And that wasn't something that I fully appreciated until I made this film. It's just a very, very sort of, for a devout Muslim, reciting the Quran, knowing the Quran, is just a part of his or her everyday experience.
It was interesting. One of the is her name Rafit?
Rifta from the Maldives. Rifta.
She's a 10-year-old who was outstanding performer and one of the winners. It was interesting how you showed and juxtaposed the role that, you know, women and females have with regard to the Quran and with regard to the larger society that they're growing up in.
Yeah, Rifta is this amazing young girl, 10 years old, from the island nation of the Maldives in the Indian Ocean. She's one of those kids who excels at everything. She's top of her class in every single subject. She speaks English, studies all these different languages, wants to be an explorer. And there's a scene in the film where she tells her mom that she wants to be an explorer. And her mom encourages her and says, I want you to get a good education. What we find out in the film is that her father, who is very loving and accompanies her to Cairo, has a different vision of her future and actually has become increasingly conservative in his viewpoint and really wants her to stay at home and be a housewife and not continue her education. So we kind of get this very intimate portrait within a Muslim family, which I think is very rare, of the real struggles going on over this daughter's education. And Rifta herself is just this incredibly charming, engaging, funny young girl who charms everyone in Cairo.
And she has the misfortune, actually, of having to compete at, I think it was 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, you know, it takes place during Ramadan. So there's an afternoon session, and they take a break for the evening meal. And they start up again at about 9:30 at night and go till 3 in the morning. So here's this 10-year-old girl. It's about 2 o'clock, and she's asleep on her father's shoulder, and then suddenly her name is called as, you know, she has to go up to the stage in front of this very intimidating group of esteemed judges who look very, very stern and suddenly sort of kick into high gear.
And she
does well. You'll see it in the film, and it's amazing what she does.
It is absolutely amazing. Our guest is Greg Barker, director of the new HBO documentary Quran by Heart. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Let's take another call. Let's go out to Milwaukee. Hello, you're on the air with Talk of the Nation. Hello? Afnan?
Hello?
Afnan.
Yes.
Yes, you're welcome. You're on the Talk of the Nation.
Hi. Yeah, I'm a first-generation Muslim American, and my parents taught me to read and memorize the Quran as young as I think I was maybe 4, and memorizing some of the smaller chapters. And at that age, what you were saying earlier, the meaning didn't matter as much. Like, I didn't commit that to memory. But as I got older, now I'm 23, the meaning matters more. It's so hard for me to memorize the Arabic, since English is my primary language. It's so hard for me to memorize it, even given the melody, if I don't know the meaning. So I just thought that was something very interesting about the language differences and committing it to memory as a child versus as an adult.
I appreciate the phone call. Thank you very much. It brings to mind, Greg Barker, the question of the reciters during this time of Ramadan. And in the United States, as I understand it, and I'd like for you to speak to this, that there are not enough reciters available. Is that true?
Well, I'm not entirely sure of all that. I think, certainly, the tradition of reciting the Quran is practiced here amongst the Muslim American community. I'm not sure it's as prevalent as it would be in some other countries. You know, so but it takes a huge amount of effort to commit the entire book to memory. Somebody who does the call to prayer, for instance, in a mosque would in the Islamic world generally be somebody who has memorized the entire Quran.
Let's see if we can squeeze one last call in before we have to say goodbye. We're going to go to Nora in Dearborn, Michigan. Nora, welcome.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have actually grew up in Syria, and there I have learned to memorize the Quran. So I finished when I was about 13 years old. The way we do it there is like there's a group of young women who would volunteer to teach other young kids the Quran. So, like, I started, I was about 4 or 5 years old, and, like, it took me that whole time. I was 13 when I was finished, and then, like, I volunteered at the mosque to teach other kids.
All right, thank you for that. Do you see this, Greg Barker, my last question for you. How do you see this in terms of the United States and the Muslim Americans who are here? Is this an expanding phenomenon in terms of reciting and learning the Quran early?
I think it's a phenomenon across the Islamic world. And I think, yes, I mean, I think people, Muslim American families value that, that art. And I think, you know, but what I did learn from these amazing kids is that this is a religion where there's very much a conversation going on over whether the religion should take a more fundamentalist approach towards the future or embrace modernity to a greater degree. And that's really the issue that's at the crux of the film, and we get at it through the stories of these amazing kids who are on the journey of their lifetime to this huge Olympics-like competition in this in Cairo last year.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Greg Barker is the director of the HBO documentary Quran by Heart. You can find a link to the trailer on our website. Go to npr.org and click on Talk. And you can see the film in its entirety throughout the month on HBO and HBO 2. And quite a film it is, I should say. Greg Barker, thank you very much for your time today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Tomorrow, Ira Flatow will be here for Talk of the Nation Science Friday with a look at new research into the moon's history. And Neil Conan will be back in the host chair on Monday. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Tony Cox in Washington.